Oh my goodness, a special Tim May show featuring one of my favorite co-pilots of all time, Joshua Perry. Joshua Perry, welcome back again to the Tim May show.
Appreciate you having me back.
And you know why I got you back. This is 10th anniversary of the 2014 team. That's not the only reason I got you back. I could talk to you every day of my life and record some of it. but
only some of it.
Yeah, but 2014 team, you guys are, in essence, celebrating the 10th anniversary, one of the great seasons, great, almost unexpected seasons in Ohio State football history, when, in fact, y'all ended up winning the very first college football playoff, which by then was just a teeny-weeny four teams. You know, it just started teeny-weeny four teams. Now we're moving to 12. But before we get into, like, some of the highlights of that season, I wanted to ask you this. Ohio State's got one loss. It's on the road. It was by 1 point to the number one team in the country now, Oregon. You guys, we'll get into who you guys lost to in a minute. But the bottom line is y'all had one loss about this point in the season. And I'm just wondering, forgetting about talking about the 2014 season at this point, do you see some similarities at all in this year's team compared to y'all's? Because in my opinion, y'all's was unexpected. We expected this team to win them all, which is kind of like crazy in modern college football, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a high expectation, no doubt. I think expectations at Ohio State are generally high every year. I don't know about parallels, right? Like you mentioned how unexpected it was for us. We had Braxton, who went down in camp, and then JT steps in. It was kind of a question mark there. And then certainly when JT got hurt, Cardell came in. You know, there was a lot to it. This Ohio State team lost to a much better team than what we lost to in 14. Right. Like it was a plausible thought process that Ohio State would go on the road and lose an Autzen. You know, I think during the summer when the betting lines were initially released, they had Oregon as a 1 point favorite. Turned out that Vegas was spot on at that point. So this idea of similarities, I think they're naturally very different teams. I think this team is in a much better spot. Right. Because like, you know, 12 team era, also the fact that, like, you know, you can go toe to toe with one of the top teams. We had to figure that out on the fly. And so, you know, these guys, they got a little bit of a different path than us.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, that's a good summation. And who knew Indiana was going to be undefeated? We're in a very strange epoch of an era in college football. Right. I mean, three of the whatever remaining undefeated teams are in the Big Ten, Oregon, Penn State, and Indiana. And the Big Ten has three teams in the top four at this moment. It, of course, it doesn't stay that way, right? But it is crazy, isn't it?
I mean, there's a chaos scenario out there where Oregon's got one loss, Ohio State's got one loss, Indiana's got one loss, Penn State's got one loss, and Illinois has one loss, right? Like, we could be looking at a Big Ten conference right now that's got some teams that are, you know, really challenging, really good, tough strength there. So, you know, I don't think it ends up that way. Quite frankly, Penn State is a big question mark to me generally. I think Ohio State's in better shape than they are, but no doubt there's quality all around. And you start shuffling some of the matchups we predicted in the preseason, this Nebraska game, maybe not what we thought it was, but Indiana coming up is going to be a pretty good one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, if it goes like you just said, then Ohio State would have given Penn State and would have given Indiana its one loss, you know, if they all end up with four teams with one loss, because they still have them on the schedule. Ohio State can control its destiny. That's maybe a cliche, but it is absolutely accurate, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the spot that you want to be in. It was the thing that we didn't necessarily realize in 14, because we just didn't know how the four-team playoff was going to go. But after losing in week two, I don't know if we believed that we were in control of our destiny. I think we were more in a situation of, well, let's win all the damn games and see what happens, right? Yeah. And so there is at least clarity in the path for Ohio State right now.
Okay, let's get to my 10 questions in less than 10 minutes. And you answer them as quickly or whatever as – take whatever time you want, but I'm trying to keep things on a budget here for your sake, because you're one of the more popular people in America when it comes to talking about college football. Okay, number one question. In the spring, did you see the ingredients for a championship run? And if you did, why?
Yes, I did. I had my biggest question. I said this team would go as far as the offensive line would take them, but I thought Will Howard was going to be in a good situation
with
talent around him.
No, excuse me. I'm talking about your team in 2014.
Oh, in 14.
I did not make that clear. I'm like a politician.
No, that's my bad.
I'm not making it clear.
No, you are a politician. No, I'm joking. Yeah, I felt like generally we had it. There were some questions, but we were coming off of a run basically where we won 24 straight and then we had lost two games, you know. And so like I think there was some questioning. We had new defensive coordinator Chris Ash coming in, but we knew we were really talented. And we felt like we could make some things happen.
Number two, Braxton Miller goes out with a shoulder injury in preseason camp. I want you to describe the mood for me around the team and the coaching staff, like Urban Meyer. You know, Urban didn't take that well, the way I understood it, but but that was one of the things that set him apart as a head coach. What do you remember about the mood of the team when that happened in preseason camp?
We were devastated. Obviously, I mean, Braxton was best player in the Big Ten. And when you have that guy go down, it makes it really difficult to see your dreams come to fruition. Urban likes to tell this story about how we left that day in training camp. He goes home and he looks at Shelly and says, "We're gonna win five games this year," right? Like that's how he felt about it. Many of us felt similarly, I think probably a little bit more positive, but that was a tough one.
Y'all opened with a win over Navy in Baltimore, where the Baltimore Ravens played. Then you come home and you get beat, I thought, decisively by Virginia Tech at home. And, now you're going back to that loss to Clemson in the Orange Bowl. And before that, the loss to Michigan State. Y'all had lost three of your last four games. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what's the mood then? You're not only did you feel like maybe y'all were vulnerable to a certain extent, but then you did lose. And what did that do to the mood?
It was funny because we came in, and that was a situation where a lot of coaching staffs would have been ranting and raving and just, super edgy. I remember sitting down in the linebacker room, Luke Fickell. He just puts on a little cut up, right? Like we didn't even watch the full game back. He puts on a number of plays for corrections, just looks at us and says, "Guys, we're better than that. We got to work." And that was kind of the approach. I think everybody's approach was like, "We need to go back to work." There was a lot of pride in that locker room. And guys didn't, especially some of the guys who were seniors there and they had gone through that Luke Fickell year. Lost to Michigan, the whole deal. Like there were a lot of those guys that were like, I didn't want to finish my career on a low note. Like we got to get this thing right, and that was the approach.
Y'all did get it right. I mean, y'all started righting the ship, so to speak. I mean, under JT Barrett's leadership, the offense really blossomed from there, in my opinion, week after week. And you had great players on that offense. Zeke Elliott was coming on like a freight train, Devin Smith, all these receivers. But then y'all go to Penn State, and I think that was the game of the shove sack by
Yes,
Joey Bosa.
Joey Bosa.
But I remember asking him after the game, did it feel like a sort of a turning point for the team, And he said definitely he felt like it was. It was that y'all had come around a corner there. Y'all had faced adversity in a hostile environment, not a big noon game, but a night game, and you pulled it out. And as you look back on that, do you agree with that? I mean, was it that turning point?
I'm going to say this. It's weird looking back because that Penn State team was not a very good football team. They were going through their own rough patch there. But the environment, as you mentioned, absolutely crazy. Game kind of didn't go as scripted for us. JT was banged up in that one. And we had to figure out a way to gut out a win in a situation that we really hadn't been in before as a team. And I thought there was a lot to take away from that. And there's nothing like going into an environment like that and making everybody shut up. When the fans are sitting on their hands and they're quiet, that's the best feeling to me. And so I think we did get a lot of confidence out of it.
Yeah, personally, I thought that showed the true grit, pardon the pun, John Wayne and Jeff Bridges. I thought that showed the true grit of that football team was truly revealed in that game. Then you go to Michigan State, and I can't remember if it was the next game or a couple of games later, but wow, they're putting up a fight. This is the team that had stolen y'all's dreams in 2013, right? In that Big Ten championship game. You go to, and all of a sudden, JT Barrett to Devin Smith, and right on down the line, the thing explodes in the second quarter, and y'all pull off a huge win. Zeke Elliott goes crazy, really, in the second half. Just, is that when it? I don't know. Did that was that when it became concrete that y'all had something special going?
Yes, I think that's when we knew, like, that was a top 10 opponent on the road.
Yeah.
I think that was the point where we said we're a much different team than who we were early on, and we've got an opportunity if we can finish the thing out and do it in impressive fashion. We got an opportunity down the line.
Yeah. Then JT Barrett gets hurt in the second half. What, fourth quarter against Michigan. And I think y'all are behind at that point and stuff. And a guy named Cardale Jones comes in, but it was really Zeke Elliott in the offensive line that got it done that day. This wasn't exactly the Cardale we were going to see in the next three games. And one of the great, maybe the best, greatest postseason by a quarterback in history. But explain the attitude there, because you had beaten Michigan. You were going to the Big Ten championship game, but you've lost your starting quarterback. I don't know. Was it almost like, hey, this has been a good season? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I know
Yeah.
you never say never, but what was it like in the locker room, et cetera?
It was strange. So Tyvis Powell lived with Cardale. He tells this wonderful story about how Cardale stopped playing video games essentially and was like watching tape, intently for the
Yeah.
first time in his career. And so I think there was a seriousness from his approach. You also have to remember, and this story isn't told a ton, but I do think it was a factor. The Coast of Kara George, that situation. It was a big deal for us like a galvanizing thing that happened there toward the end of the year. It was the after the Michigan game, they came in, we had police on the practice field, and we're like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
And they delivered us the news of what happened to Costa, and it was a very sad thing, but a lot of us felt like, we wanted to finish things right for a number of reasons, and he was a part of it too. And so again, we were very much like, you love horses. We had the blinders on, man. Like we weren't very aware of the what we were up against. I don't think it mattered to us. And that was kind of the story of the postseason.
Yeah. All right. Big Ten title game. 59 nothing. Cardale goes nuts. Zeke Elliott goes nuts. The defense definitely goes nuts, right? I mean, I've never asked you this, but is that as thorough a butt kicking in a clutch moment against a really what to then was a pretty damn good team? As you look back on it now, I still get a little bit of goosebumps. I was just covering it, but just how thorough, that beatdown was at exactly the right moment in that team's history.
Never been a part of something like it. And you have to remember, Melvin Gordon, he was a Heisman finalist that year. He's a running back for Wisconsin. 2 weeks previously, he went for over 400 yards in a game.
Yeah.
And we had a game plan. We called it was black coverage. We called it over black was the defense that we played for most of the game. It was straight man to man. And we said, we're not letting that guy give an inch. And Joel Save, who's a guy who I know, great dude. He's like, that dude can't throw it. And we are going to bottle them up. Now, the unexpected part of it was the 59 points that our offense was able to generate in that game. It was offense, defense, special teams, just a butt whooping up and down the field.
Unbelievable. And now, we move into the boxing cliches. To be the champ, you got to beat the champ, right? And Alabama was the Mike Tyson really of that era. You play them in the Sugar Bowl, the first ever college football playoff semifinal, or one of the first two ever college football playoff semifinals. Dude, I mean, you beat them at their own game for the most part. And then Zeke Elliott said, what was that long run, 85 yards or whatever it was, to the house through the middle of the South, just, cemented it. But you had to play big time defense at the end, too, to make it happen. For some reason, y'all decided to try to throw a touchdown past the end of the game to Evan Spencer, and it stopped the clock and gave Alabama time. There was all kinds of weird stuff that happened in that game, but what a moment, right? I mean, put that game in perspective for us. I mean, the demeanor of the team after that, because you're coming off a 59-0 butt whooping of Wisconsin, and and before that, you'd beaten the team up north, as y'all call them, and now you've beaten the team that people were thinking couldn't be beaten, at least that season. Wow, was it cloud nine, cloud 12? What cloud were y'all
We're on all of them.
on? You
Listen,
touched all of them. Touch them all. Yeah.
it was a reason why a lot of us came to Ohio State was to be able to be victorious in games like that. Urban had always talked about it, and he always brought up this analogy of the ropes that come up in those big games, and it's just you and the team and your family, and nobody else is allowed inside. We wanted to experience that certainly. And after that game, I'll tell you right now, There was no doubt in our mind we were national champs. Like, you could have had Tom Brady coming out there with the Patriots, and we felt like we were going to win the next game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We all expected y'all to handle Oregon, and you did, even though they had the Heisman Trophy winner in Marcus Mariota. But if let's face it, I think you agree, Joshua. If they had voted for the Heisman Trophy after the playoff, Zeke Elliott would have won it hands down, wouldn't he? I mean, but when that's done and stuff, did it feel like over those 15 weeks or so since the loss to Virginia Tech, y'all had climbed a mountain? What is the analogy you would use to describe where y'all came from to where you got?
I mean, it was, we traversed the world, right? Like, it was a trip to from here to all the way wherever and back. Like, it was
Yeah.
one of the longest windy journeys. But when you're in a journey like that, you can't think about how much your feet hurt, and you can't think about the backpack you're carrying. You got to kind of have eyes on exactly what the experience is, and then a little bit of perspective on what the destination is going to be like too.
Yeah, one step at a time gets you there, right? One step at a time.
Yep.
That's what my dad used to say. All right, now you're looking back 10 years later, 10th anniversary of that championship. What memory of that season leaves you the most feeling of satisfaction? And I want to throw this at you too. Urban Meyer, obviously he's a tough love kind of dude, at least when it comes to coaching a football team. I have always believed he was the right, I don't know, the right guy at the right time to push y'all's buttons. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I'm not saying that's your feeling of satisfaction, but what he put y'all through to get there, if you understand my meaning, not settling throughout the year, even when y'all lost, and y'all came through for him. So what leaves you with the most feeling of satisfaction as you think about the memories of that season?
I think it was this idea of everything that we were told could happen. Like, everything that we were coached to do put us in the position to be victorious. Like, there was a leadership kind of overhaul that we had to feel as a program. We that off season was tough, and it was like a real grind. And they were like, "Listen, man, we're doing this because we know what it takes." And I think that was the big thing for us. We learned a lot about ourselves. We learned a lot about our coaching staff. We learned a lot about the resolve, I guess, that it takes to become a champion, not only in football, but once you get out into the world, you want to be a championship husband, championship father. You want to be a championship employee, or whatever the case is, a boss, whoever you are in life. And so that was it for us. And it kind of gave us the tools to understand, like, it's never going to be easy, but all the things you want in life are going to be something you have to work for.
One quick bonus question. Always throw that in there. What was the most unsung but valuable member, even to this day, of that football team? I know this catching you a little bit of a surprise question there, but
Oh,
is there
man.
one guy you think hadn't got his due?
Yeah, so I'll say two guys. So Stevie Miller, in that play that he had
Yeah.
against Alabama, it's one of the great plays, and I feel like he was, he was more of a rotational guy, so not the first player that pops into mind, but that was huge for us. Curtis Grant, heart and soul, great leader, and he had to humble himself. He's splitting reps with the freshman. Raekwon McMillan comes in, everybody's talking about him, and Curtis Grant can't do this, and he should have transferred, and like, he became a captain and a guy for us.
Ladies and gentlemen, the incomparable Joshua Perry. Joshua, go do some real work, man, for
All
NBC.
right.
You do stellar work there. And ladies and gentlemen, speaking for Joshua Perry, I'll see you next week on the Tim May Show.
Cheers.